Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I remember you, the Apostle Paul, as he penned this epistle to the church in Philippi, a church that he loved dearly, and a church that loved him in return, also with the same warmness of heart. He was in prison. He knew he would not see them face to face ever again. And yet, he had much to thank God for them. When he penned this epistle, he stated, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Memories are reflection. Reflection of our interaction with one another. You do not have memories without interaction. If you try to remember someone that you never had any interaction with in any way, you and I know that it will be a big blank. There's absolutely nothing. You may remember his name. You may even remember his face, but that's about it. In times of vigil services, loved ones will be asked to speak a good word about their loved one who has just been called home to glory. We call it the eulogy. And so they will try to remember as much as possible all the good times they had together. And so memories will come into play, and you will remember the moments, the reflection upon your interaction. What we do when we are together, how we interact with one another, either through modern technology, that is by way of WhatsApp, FaceTime, even an email, whatever it is, in any form of interaction, face-to-face or not face-to-face, through the emails you send, these will evoke a lot of memories. Because if I remember the email that you sent to me, that is also a form of interaction. Two persons very much in love, separated by space and time, because one person had to be in another country for whatever the reason is, and the other person remains at home in the home country, and they continue to communicate, especially when both of them are in love. They will continue their loving relationship over the seas, over the oceans. Nothing was allowed to separate them, and they continue to interact. And then when they meet face to face, I'm sure that when they meet face to face, what do you think will be brought to remembrance? I'm sure it will be those many moments, many precious moments of their time separated, but yet they were still able to share those times together. And so memories are basically what we make for ourselves when we interact with one another, when we share our lives together. Between husbands and wives, if the Lord were to take one party home, how would you remember the other person? You know that your memories of the person will no longer increase because your time spent with that person has been terminated by God when the Lord takes one party home unto himself. Like in this case of the Apostle Paul. If not for this epistle, where he continued to bare his heart, literally, it is one of the most intimate epistles that you find the Apostle Paul writing to one of his churches that the Lord used him to found. There will be no more interaction outside of this epistle. And whatever time that he spent with them is now primarily based upon his remembrance of them. You and I must learn to treasure our times together, because we know that memories could be very fond or very sad and very painful and tragic. because our time spent together had been one of misunderstanding, quarrels, problems upon problems upon problems. And we'll rather forget these memories because it brings so much pain and hurt. And all because we fail to relate to each other properly when we are together, when we corresponded, when we spend time together. And so this morning, the sermon title is When I Remember You. The impact is on our time spent together, either face to face or through modern technology, whatever it is, our communication. Let us be more sensitive. Let us be more careful, more Christ-centered, so that when we remember one another, we ask ourselves, have I spent my time with so-and-so correctly to the praise of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? For we know that everyone that the Lord brought into my life, they were not accidents. All those moments, all those times, all the individuals, even our enemies, there are no accidents in the lives of God's children. But how we interact and how we fellowship, crucial. Now let us learn from the Apostle Paul as he languished in prison in Rome, knowing that he will not see these brethren, his spiritual children, ever again on this earth. But he had fond memories of his time together with them. And so the first thing we look at when we remember one another is before God. You see that in verse 3 and verse 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. That is before God, for all of you, in making request with joy. One of the best results of time spent together is that when I remember you, it will be before God in prayer, where I know your needs, where I know your struggles. And the Apostle Paul says, I do so with thanksgiving. When I remember you, I have much to thank God for. When you spend time with people, and when we talk only about things of the world, do you think when I reflect upon our time spent together, will it be one of thanksgiving? Is there any form of depth of relationship? Because very often when we spend time together, it is usually an interaction that is very transient. It is also perhaps superficial. When we talk about things that are generic and general, we don't share our lives. We don't open our heart to one another. And therefore, to be honest and sincere and genuine before God in prayer, we cannot pretend and say, I thank God when I remember so-and-so, this person and that person. And then the Lord will ask you, what do you thank God for? What do you thank me for? What about the time you spend with that person that will evoke from you a sincere, genuine thankfulness? In the case of the Apostle Paul, I'm sure it would be in relation to their salvation, because this church in Philippi did not exist until the Lord, by the Macedonian call, sent him across the agency to present-day Europe, to Macedonia and to Greece. And then he preached the gospel. He shared the word of God. He shared Christ's love. He shared God's love with them. And they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and their Savior. And honestly, that alone should immediately fill the heart of the Apostle Paul with so much thankfulness before God, that he could be used by God in such a tremendous and privileged manner to be an instrument that God could use to bring salvation, grace, and mercies to sinners who would be sent to hell if any one of them were to die in sin. But now all of them have been delivered from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which is hell itself, and they are all bound for heaven. And the Apostle Paul, in his lifetime of service, in that window, in that moment of time, during his missionary journey, second missionary journey, the Lord used him in this humble and tremendous manner to bring the word of God to them. And they came to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, as part of God's family now. And the Apostle Paul had a part to play in the spiritual blessing in the lives of the people in the church in Philippi. And the Apostle Paul says, I thank God. I'm sure that would be perhaps the first on his list of remembrance before God of the brethren in the church in Philippi. COVID situation has resulted in us not being able to gather together. Either we are separated by ocean or by land. It's still a separation. Some farther, some not as far, but it's still a separation. How do we remember one another before God? Or do we at all remember one another, or we just forget about one another? And so when we pray, assuming that we pray, which the Apostle Paul did a lot, I'm sure he would go down a list, one by one, reflecting upon his first missionary journey. I'm sure remembering the churches that the Lord used him to found in Galatia. And when you look at his epistle to the Galatians, do you realize that he did not use the phrase, I thank God upon every remembrance of you? Of course, he was not in prison when he penned the epistle to the Galatians. He just arrived back home to the sending church in Antioch. And news came to him that false teachers have crept into the churches in Galatia, and they have infected the churches with a false gospel, which was not the gospel that saved, but it was a gospel that deceived, that will bring false salvation. And so Paul did not reflect upon them with any kind of fondness because he was shocked. And so he said in Galatia, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. It is a totally different gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm stunned. I'm astonished. I'm so shocked that you would so easily replace the gospel that I shared with you that saved you with another gospel that could not save you. There was no fond memory in that sense. And so he penned that epistle very, very urgently to stop the deception. And that was primarily his singular and main thrust and theme in that epistle to the Galatians. But when he came to the brethren in the church in Philippi, as he reflected upon the time he spent with them before God's throne of grace and mercies, he said, I thank God. And I'm sure he would include it for their salvation, for their service, for their devotion. Because if you read through this epistle to the Philippians, you realize that they loved the Apostle Paul so much that they would collect tithes and offerings to give to him, knowing that he would be serving the Lord and some churches might not give him any financial aid. But they loved him, and they did. They cared for him. Paul remembered them for their devotion and their love for him. He remembered them, I'm sure, for their faithfulness, for their courage, for their evangelistic skill, and their concern and their burden to reach out to others in Philippi who are not believers. The Apostle Paul had very, very fond memories that evoke thankfulness before God when he remembered the brethren in Philippi, when he spent time with them. Now, we all have memories. I remember the first time I arrived in the church in Sydney. It was not in this present building. I'm sure Elder Koh and Mrs. Koh would have a longer and greater depth of memory concerning all of you than I would have, because he spent so many years with all of you. He lived with you. He shared his life with you, a big chunk of his ministerial life. After he served with us in Pandan, the Lord called him to Australia. And I'm sure this message, when I remember you, Elder Koh would have a much bigger depth than I would have. But what about you? When you remember him, when you remember Mrs. Koh, their service, their time with you. And I'm sure when the Apostle Paul penned this epistle, and I'm sure when this epistle was read to the brethren in Philippi and they heard these two verses where the Apostle Paul testified, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." And those who were saved by the Apostle Paul on his first trip during his second missionary journey when he set foot in Philippi. And he started to share the gospel. And I'm sure the reflection on their part would be mutual. And some of them might even have some tears flowing down their cheeks, knowing that this would be the final and last communication that they would have from their beloved spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, who not only shared the gospel with them, but also shared his life with them. He spent time with them, teaching them, establishing them in the faith. A lot of fond memories of God's blessing, of God's goodness in their lives because of his sacrifice and his devotion. And the fond memories, I'm sure, were mutual. As you sit at home, as you sit in the pew for some who have returned to church for service, when you remember one another, I'm sure some of us may have regrets. Some of us may say, "Well, I should have done this better. I should have spent more time." But you know that you do not have more time. I'm sure some of them would say, "I should have spent more time with the Apostle Paul. I should have invited him over to my home for a meal where we could spend more time together in intimate sharing." Because it is more than just before God, isn't it? That we should remember one another. Because in verse 5, it is before the brethren. Because he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." First day of what? First day that they met him and he met them. Fellowship. You and I know that Greek word koinonia. Just like we also are very familiar with the word agape. These are all Greek terminologies that have found and crept its way into our English vocabulary. And we use them as if it is an English word, but these are special terminologies where the fellowship is more than just simply sitting down at a meal and then you eat in silence, I eat in silence. Those moments and those times together where we just simply eat together is not literally fellowship, because we don't share our lives. We don't open our heart to each other. And then when we open our lips, we talk about general things, generic things, safe topics about politics, about the prime minister, about the COVID situation, about so many things except our lives. And so when we remember one another, there is nothing personal. Oh, we talk about our interests. Oh, you're interested in this sport, so am I. And so we remember one another. And so when we reflect and when I remember you, oh, I only remember you as someone who is very, very knowledgeable about this sport and that sport. Do I remember whether you are a good student of God's word? Whether I remember you as someone who prays a lot, who struggles with evangelism, who's afraid of giving a tract, who struggle with testifying for the Lord in your workplace because you are afraid. And because you didn't share, I didn't share, and actually both of us were fearful, both of us were afraid, and we should have shared with one another and how we overcame our fears in witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ in our respective workplaces. And none of these things were shared. And therefore, when we remember each other before the brethren in fellowship, that is not much. That is good. That is thankful. Because the apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship. Because this I thank my God phrase continues on, because you see at the end of verse 3 is a comma, at the end of verse 4 is a comma, it's a continuation. When you remember the brethren, the fellowship together, it was with thanksgiving. And one of the best, I'm sure, thanksgiving is our ability to forgive. Because we know that the more we fellowship together, the chances of us hurting one another will increase manifold. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we are very nervous and very hesitant in fellowshipping, in sharing our lives, because we are afraid of getting hurt. And so therefore, we rather skirt around the superficial and talk about things that we know will not hurt each other. Because the moment I share with you my life, the moment I tell you your shortcomings, which we all know we all have, because we are not perfect. We all can improve, even between husbands and wives. And sometimes we dare not even help one another improve because we all have shortcomings. And as we age, as you grow older, we know that with time, these weaknesses of ours, they do not just simply disappear. New weaknesses may introduce itself into our relationship that were never there in the past. Because as you age, your memory, let's say, becomes not as good as before. And so you become more forgetful. And when you become more forgetful, and as husband and wife, when you have not been forgetful in the past, but as you age, as you grow older, you realize, and sometimes too late, that we are not as young as we used to be. We are not as fast as we used to be when we walk. And so we will do things slower and we will walk slower. And the other person, the other yourself, perhaps, still strong, still healthy, and you walk at a particular pace as if you're still in your 50s, but now you're already in your 60s. But your wife may not be as fast as you used to be. And then you become impatient, you become a little upset, assuming that she was still in her 50s, but both of you are in your 60s or even 70s. And so you did not adjust to each other's change. And then you become upset easily and you become short-tempered and you now complain more, murmur more, and you get upset. And then when it comes to when I remember you, all the negative will now take precedent, first place. Because you forgot all the blessed times, you forgot all the good times. And now what is most current becomes most fresh to your mind and in your memory. And then all you have would be very little thanksgiving. Because you failed. You failed your wife. Your wife failed you. Because you have not been patient. You have not been loving. You have not been long-suffering. You have not been forgiving. Fellowship before brethren. Very important. That's what we have to now bear in mind, especially young people, if the Lord tarries. Your list of memories will not be as long as those who are in their 60s and 70s, obviously. Because memories are basically your experiences in life with people, with circumstances, some failures, some success, some tears, some sorrowful, some joy, some grief. These are all life's experiences, and we all have them. It's a question of percentage. It's a question of how much of it or how less of it that you would thank God for when you remember your fellowship with one another. I know that Elder Koh and Mrs. Koh will probably not return to Sydney BP Church. And therefore, I remember very fondly my last trip to Sydney. And that was, of course, before COVID times, at the last church camp. Of course, at that point in time, before COVID, I never realized that that would be my last time with Elder Koh and Mrs. Koh in Sydney at the camp. I'm not sure whether any of the brethren in the church in Philippi would ever realize that when the Apostle Paul returned to Philippi during his third missionary journey and he spent time with them, whether they realized that his third missionary journey would be the last missionary journey and there will be no fourth missionary journey where he will visit them in Philippi. I did not know that that church camp that we fellowship together would be our last and final church camp, literally for eternity. But I thank God for the fond memories of the many, many camps that we were able to have together. The time that we talked, the afternoon time that we spent drinking coffee together, we talk about the matters of the church. Fond memories. And I thank God for those blessed times. Now, whether I will be allowed by God's mercies to return to Sydney BP Church, I do not know. Only the Lord knows, because this COVID situation seems to drag on for so long, and now with this new variant called Omicron that is far more infectious, whether it is going to be benign or whether it's going to be more deadly, only the Lord knows. But time will tell. And if it is more benign, then perhaps we will all enter into a period of endemic worldwide. And those who are now afflicted by the Omicron variant with very minor results, and upon recovery, they would now have the natural protection. They do not need to have any vaccination. And then perhaps we can all meet again face to face in Sydney. But if not, the last time we met would be the last time forever. Fellowship. Spend it well. Spend it perhaps as if it is really the last time, because it truly might be the last time. And if it's the last time and we do not spend it fruitfully, wisely, and intimately, that we truly share our lives and our concern as brethren in Christ. You know how sad and how tragic, because to spend our time superficially for fear of hurting one another, then we are no different from the people of the world. And when you see the people of the world so-called fellowship together, they could not share their lives in anything that is known as the spiritual dimension, the spiritual depth, because they are spiritually blind and spiritually dead. But we are not. We have our eyes open to the real world, the spiritual world that this world is blinded to. And so when you fellowship now with one another, if the Lord tarries, would you be more mindful of how you fellowship? Are you prepared to open your heart a little bit more? We're not saying you bear everything out and you blurt everything out. Doesn't mean that we become tactless. Doesn't mean that we become insensitive. We still should be sensitive. But at least have fellowship whereby you're not afraid of being hurt or being betrayed. And even if you are hurt, learn to forgive. Because the ability to learn to forgive one another in moments of fellowship where we tell each other, I see your shortcoming, I tell you your shortcoming, with no agenda to demean, to diminish you or to hurt you on purpose, but to help you. Because the Lord tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And if I were not to tell you your shortcoming, to help you improve and become a better witness for Christ, to become a better person for the Lord to use for his glory, then I'm only showing you kisses of an enemy. Because I keep my mouth shut to maintain our superficial sense of peace. Because if I were to tell you a shortcoming, I know I take the risk of having my head bitten off by you. But isn't that what a friend is supposed to be? And at the moment in time, I'm sure nobody likes to be told about their shortcomings. We all love to be told how clever we are, how good we are. But we all know that we are far from perfect. And even in the midst of how good and how clever we are, we all have shortcomings. And it's the shortcoming, and sometimes the shortcomings are the things that will diminish and perhaps even tarnish our witness for Christ. And if you see it in me and you don't tell me about it, how are you called my friend? For example, if I preach and teach God's word and I have some bad nervous habit, well, sometimes habit is something that we are not aware of because it's a habit. But when you listen to me, you might know my habit. You may see it as something that is disturbing you from concentrating on my sermon properly. You know, there are some speakers where they use a lot before the next phrase or the next sentence comes. And they're not aware that they are a lot. And if you were to count them in one sermon that lasted maybe 50 minutes, it may be as many as 100. The person is not aware of it. But it irritates you when you listen to me teach or preach. And then you keep quiet. You don't tell me. You're just simply irritated. You're not helping me. You should tell me so that I become more aware of my... And I don't need to do that. If I'm now made aware of it consciously, now I can try my best with God's help to consciously stop this bad habit. You know, some people pray. They are so nervous in their prayer and they may say certain pet phrases. For example, using the word Lord repeatedly. They're not aware of it. And so they might need us to tell them. But when you tell them, the person may be offended. I will react. I have reacted very badly on many occasions when my wife corrects me and she loved me enough to tell me my wrong pronunciation in this word, or I should not have this habit. And of course, she will tell you that I did not react properly immediately. And I regretted it. But then upon more time to ponder over, as I reflect upon what she said, I know she's right. And I know I need to improve. I know that I need to change. And pride stands in the way, and I dare not even go up to her to tell her and apologize to her. I'm so sorry for my poor reaction. You are right. I pronounced this word wrongly. Thank you for telling me. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry for biting your head off. Memories. These are my memories of my poor behavior. Before God in prayer, thanksgiving. Before the brethren, thanksgiving, because of the fond memories where we are learning, we learn to forgive. And I remember this area of my ministry, of my wife correcting me, helping me to be better. These are fond memories. I thank God for my wife for this. If she had not said anything, if she had kept quiet, I would not have this memory of her helping me to improve and be a better teacher and preacher of God's word. But now I have this memory. This memory would not have been there in my mind those many occasions if she had kept silent. Remember, memories are basically reflections of interaction, of how we interact. And God, the Lord has saved us and left us behind for this kind of interaction where the Lord used a very strong verb. He used the word provoke, right? Provoke one another unto love and to good works. That should be our duty toward one another, provoking one another toward love and good works, not provoking toward anger, but love and good works. When I remember you before God in prayer, the Apostle Paul gave thanks and so must we. When I remember you before God in fellowship, our times together, what do you remember? As you look to your left and right, as you reflect upon your time spent with Elder Mrs. Koh, brethren in Sydney, do you have much to thank God for? Do you remember? Or there are some individuals that I remember in Pandan, that I remember in Sydney PP Church. It fills me with a lot of sadness and sorrow and pain and hurt because of what happened, because of what they have done, or because of what I have done. I cannot thank God for them in that sense. Sure, I thank God for everything that happened. All things work together for good. Yeah, right. But those evoke a lot of sadness. I'm sure when the Apostle Paul reflect upon the brethren in Galatia, he will remember Galatians that he penned to rebuke them, to chastise them because of the false teachers that impacted them so badly and they allowed them to impact them so badly. That's why very soon after he returned to Antioch, after the Acts 15 battle, where they had to settle the doctrinal issue, whether Gentiles should be circumcised or not. Straight away, he and Barnabas decided we should make our second missionary journey and revisit the brethren in Asia, Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. Of course, he and Paul had a quarrel because Barnabas wanted John Mark and he did not want John Mark. And so Barnabas was replaced by Silas. And so he and Silas went there too. Counsel them, to talk to them, to see how they were doing. And then after that, he wanted to continue eastward, and that's where the Macedonian call came. And so he went together with Silas across the agency, together with the entourage who were with him. And that's how the church in Philippi was founded. And so now he reflected upon the fellowship that he had with them from day one, first day. And I'm sure those who serve the Lord with Elder Koh and Mrs. Koh from day one, I'm sure they had a lot of memories before you all arrive in this present church site, church property. The whole journey, all the challenges, all the problems in all the different places of worship in the early days. And then now here, some have come, some have gone. All the memories of your fellowship. It all depends on your present fellowship. It will impact your memories of your fellowship together. Spend it, fellowship with one another fruitfully and wisely, and don't be afraid to open your heart. And then thirdly, first before God, before the brethren, and now before eternity. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, when he thanked God, in remembrance when they first met, when they fellowship, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Which day of Jesus Christ do you think Paul was referring to? His return. In other words, he knew that they were believers. He was very certain, based upon his fellowship with them, that he will meet them again, not on earth, but in heaven. When you fellowship, and when you share intimately about your spiritual lives, you will have that confidence that so-and-so, 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 they are surely, truly born again in Christ. And therefore, since you are in Christ, I am in Christ. And since the Bible says that everyone who is in Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God because of Jesus Christ's work in your life. And since you cannot be separated from God because of Christ, I cannot be separated from God because of Christ, which means that you and I can never be separated ever, ever again. Do you know that? Do you realize that or not? Because the Apostle Paul, I'm sure he knew that they are going to be separated forever on earth. He's in Rome under house arrest, hundreds of miles apart. They are in Philippi. They will never meet again unless some of them are prepared to travel from Philippi to look for him in Rome. And that's not an overnight flight. They have no airplane. It will take them weeks, if not longer. And by sea, you've got to be very careful because Mediterranean Sea during winter time, it's a disaster. No cruise liner today would ever have a cruise during winter season like now. The water in the Mediterranean Sea will be freezing cold and it will be turbulent. And do you know of all the seas and oceans on earth, the Mediterranean Sea is the sea that is known as the graveyard because the most number of people die in the Mediterranean Sea than in any other ocean all over the world. You just imagine the number of people who perish when they try to cross from Europe to Africa or Africa to Europe. And then on top of that, you have all the battles and all the oceans, all the sea battles in this Mediterranean Sea. And then the Second World War battle and all the battles between the superpowers and their boats and their ships all fought against one another in this big Mediterranean Sea. And if they were to take the trouble to travel, they might see him face to face. But other than that, the Apostle Paul says, I remember you before eternity, but we will meet again. I know that my time spent with you, that you're all truly born again in Christ. And so he says, I'm confident. I thank God that I'm confident of this very thing that he, which is God who has begun a good work in you, that is salvation, grace, and mercies, he will perform it unto the day. You cannot lose a salvation. You will be truly saved and born again, which means that we will meet again before our Heavenly Father in glory. You know how wonderful it is to remember the people in your life with this confidence that so-and-so, 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 they are my family of God forever and ever and ever. And therefore, whatever hurt or pain that we may have with one another on earth, I will readily forgive. What I have, I will share with you openly and freely because we are family. I will not be stingy. I will not treat you as if you are not part of my family. I will treat you as if you are my children. You need help financially? No second thought. Here, you can have it. You can have it. That's what we do with our own children, isn't it? When the children need money for their school fees, you don't pray and hesitate. If you have the funds, sure. This is the amount. Son, here you go. Daughter, here you go. No hesitation. The family. We are family. You're not just simply members of Sydney BP Church. You're a family of God. Look to your right. Look to your left. Your fellowship with one another will reveal whether you have the same confidence as the Apostle Paul when he shared, being confident of this one thing. I know that you are born again because the Lord Jesus Christ has begun a good work in you. He will perform it. He will make sure that you will arrive home in glory until the return of Christ. That means we will see one another and enjoy more fellowship together. And so when you remember one another, do you remember with this confidence of meeting one another in heaven, even though we will not meet again on earth? The people of the world do not have this memory. They cannot have this memory. They are fearful because they don't know where they are going. And nobody wants to remember fondly that we are going to meet each other in hell. Nobody will want that. But in heaven, before God's throne of grace and mercies, surely surely thankfulness of heart before God with this confidence before eternity. And therefore, as you worship together in Sydney PP Church, as you fellowship together, think of how you would remember one another before God, before one another in fellowship, and before eternity, that you will be inseparable. And so learn to forgive one another, learn to truly care for one another, learn to help one another, so that when you meet each other in heaven, there will only be one happy, loving embrace. You don't have to walk on the other side of the streets of gold in heaven, because you have no regret. You have shared your life. You have been transparent. You have been honest. You have been patient. You have been loving toward one another before God. When I remember you, it's for all of us. And let it impact our present life, so that we will have something, some fond memories to remember each other before God's throne of grace and mercies. It all depends on how you live today, so that you will have something to remember tomorrow and to eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O Lord, first and foremost, for saving us, for the life that you have given to us in Christ Jesus, for the privilege of service, for the privilege of ministry, and for the blessings that we have much to remember because of the many people that you have brought into our lives, that we can share our time here on earth with as we serve thee together, as we fight God's battle together, as we learn to forgive one another and provoke one another unto love and to good works. For all these memories, we give thee thanks. Help us, O Lord, as we continue to serve thee and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to cherish our time spent together in fellowship before thee and before one another with eternity in mind. To do so with love, with patience, with fondness, so that when tomorrow comes, we will have fond memories as we remember one another before thy throne of grace and mercies. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times when we have hurt one another and we have not learned to forgive one another and to share our lives with one another because of our fear of being hurt. Help us, O Lord, for the sake of Christ and with the love of Christ constraining us, that is able to help us cover us a multitude of sin. May we spend time together fruitfully with love, with genuine care and concern, so that we will have much to remember one another before thy throne of grace and mercies with much thanksgiving. Sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth, for thy word is truth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.